now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
We're in our series called A Place Called Home. Well, that's what joy is to all of us, isn't it? A place called home. And today I want to talk to you about healing relational viruses. Not that any of you have them, but I know I need to deal with them in my own life, so I thought I would just share them openly. All my viruses, okay? And want to share with you from Romans 12. If you have your Bible here, or if you have your phone, I want you to go to Romans 12 with me, though it'll be up on the screen as well, because we're actually in the whole chapter today. And so we'll be staying in that chapter, reading the whole chapter. And I want to talk to you again about healing relational viruses. Do any of you suffer from comparisonitis? I just want to ask that again. Do any of you suffer from comparisonitis? Okay, good. Well, first of all, it's one of the most destructive relational viruses of the modern world. Do you know that? And what is comparisonitis? It is the tendency to measure one's worth by comparing oneself with other people. That's what it is. Let me redefine that for you. Let me define that for you again, I mean. It is the tendency to measure one's worth by comparing oneself to other people. That is comparisonitis. You won't find this virus listed in any of the standard medical textbooks, nor will your company's disability or health insurance or workers' compensation program reimburse you for it, by the way. It's actually free for all today. But make no mistake, this relational virus is a plague, and it's widespread and destructive as any physical or emotional sickness known to mankind today. It really is. Many people's lives are affected daily by comparisonitis. Do you find ways to look down on others and think highly of yourself because you enjoy greater abilities, greater intelligence, greater skills and status, greater wealth? Or do you look down on yourself and envy others because you feel you are not capable, you're not as smart, you're not as powerful, you don't have status, and you're not as wealthy as other people? Do you look down on yourselves? Well, we need to be aware of how deadly this relational virus can be, comparisonitis. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul offers a remedy for this very virus. He says to see ourselves not as we stack up against others, nor as others evaluate us, but we need to see ourselves as God sees us. And when God sees you and I, he goes, ooh la la. He does. You don't do that, but he does. He might translate it in different languages, you know. But in English, it's ooh la la. That's all I know, because that's all I hear when he looks at me. Ooh, la, la. Corwin, he does that to you, brother. He looks at you and he goes, Corwin, ooh, la, la. She's laughing as Corwin feels right now, okay? But that's how God looks at us. And we matter to him. And so he does not want us competing, striving for, hoping that we fit into something that we already fit into, and it's called the body of Christ. He's given us free access into it, and we belong to it, and we have our function in it, and God wants us to thrive in the family called the body of Christ. All are welcome to be a part of it. And we learn that in Romans chapter 12. And I want to encourage you this morning that you and I can overcome this relational virus called comparisonitis. We can overcome it, we can defeat it, and it can actually lose its grip on us as we look at Romans chapter 12 and we begin to change our viewpoint on how God perceives us as we belong to the body of Christ. Let's go on a journey together, starting in Romans 12 at verse 1 to 2. Excuse me, please. Are you with me?
Yes.
You better be. Here we go. Therefore, I urge you. Say that with me.
I urge you.
You said that like you didn't mean it. Therefore, I what?
Urge you.
That's what he's saying. I urge you, brothers, in view of what? God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is, not might be, not could be, this is your spiritual act of worship. Now, who's, go back to it, verse 1. There we go, thank you. In whose view? In view of God's mercy. It's his viewpoint, right? That's what it is. That's what we're talking about this morning. Verse 2, go to verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I meet with a lot of people all the time, meeting with people. And a lot of people tell me all the time that I do not know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what it is. I've tried to find it. I've done this. I've done that. And I still don't know what God's will is for my life. And he's saying to us that perhaps there's some things in the way that get in your way, that get in your person, that actually disrupt you from finding the will of God in your life. And one of those things is comparisonitis. Because often our viewpoint is based upon what the world is telling us is important, what others are telling us is important, or what we feel we have not measured up to and our own expectations of what we feel we should accomplish. And many times, because of that mindset and the world's influences and the world's effect, we then get off course of what God actually intends for us to think about ourselves, believe about ourselves, do within ourselves, and do for the kingdom of God. And that's where people begin not to feel like they belong in the family of God. That's when people takes in their own power, in their own hands, their good, their perfect, and their pleasing will. Ooh. And God's saying, no. No, let's deal with this comparisonitis. Let's really look at this. That's not all the relational viruses, by the way. That one virus, I'm going to show you how it multiplies into other viruses if you allow it to be a part of your home and a part of your family and a part of your own personal life. So he opens up, therefore, and he's begging us, he's urging us, he's desperately catching our attention, and he's saying, first of all, there's some benefits here that I want you to understand that you get right away. When you come into the family of God, when you come in because of the salvation you found in Jesus Christ, you immediately begin to experience the benefits of belonging into the place that I want you to call your home, the church family. There's some things that you automatically receive. And he's saying, right now, there's mercy. You can't do what I'm asking you to do, and that is offer yourself up as a living sacrifice. You can't do that on your own. You can't be holy as I am holy. I didn't say be holy because you need to be like me. I'm in the sense of I'm the holy one and you have to be like me. He says, I want you to grow in holiness like me. You won't be holy like I am holy, but you can grow in the holiness of God. And he's challenging us as living sacrifices that we can be pleasing. And when we are living sacrifices, what is that? That is often a weird term to people. Living sacrifices mean that our whole life, our whole being is devoted to worshiping, honor, and living for Christ. That's what being a living sacrifice is. Let's not make it more complicated than that. It's not that complicated. And yet it's hard to achieve. And he's saying these benefits of grace and mercy and power and love will continually transform your old nature, will continually change your behaviors, your values, your thinking, your desires, your lifestyle. And I find that a lot of people want the transformational power in Christ in their lives, but once it comes to giving up the old way of behaving, the old way of thinking, the old way of interacting, the old way of having my way. Let me say that again so you really hear what I'm saying. The old way of having my way. And the lifestyle that brought comfort to me, or the lifestyle that seemed to flow out of me, that I understood and I could live freely without other people telling me how to live. And God's saying, oh no, I'm telling you there's a new way to live. You may not like that I'm telling you, and you may not appreciate that people tell you what to do. I'm letting you know that I have some expectations, and that is the old lifestyle has to go. The old nature has to change. Because if you're going to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and pleasing before me, then the old has to go. Behold, the new has to come. I know, we've heard it all before, right? A part of renewing our thinking and deciding to be devoted and consecrated and holy and pleasing to God, that alone, once we make that decision to say, okay, I may not do this perfectly. I may not even know how to do this at times. But I'm saying to you, Lord, I'm submitting and I'm going to let you teach me how to do this. I'm saying I've tried to transform my life on my own, in my own power, with my own methods, and all it got me is into trouble. I saw somebody in the back going, mm-hmm. It's true. And he's saying, I can help you. And the reason you continually do that and live that way is because you have comparisonitis. Because what you do, even when you get saved, is that thing that was comfortable, that thing that brought you results, you believe will continually give you the same results. And it doesn't. Because you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You have the hope of Christ dwelling in you. You have the glory of God living in you. You have the fire of the Holy Spirit accessible in you. You can't be the same. You shouldn't be the same. You should pray not to be the same. You celebrate you're not the same. Amen. Right? When you put that burger on the grill and the fire is sizzling and saying, fire of God, sizzle at me. That's what we need to be doing. Well, I was challenged with this ability to live, to think and act God's way this week. I went back up into Canada. I had to go in, had some crisis situation with my passport. And so I had to go up there and organize all the ridiculousness of this passport, which I started, I'm telling you, months ago. And I needed it for a particular date to head out on a trip, so I needed to have that. And so I, went up there, and my baby sister, she lives in Toronto. So I ended up getting my passport, and I thought, she's only an hour away from here. I'm going to call her and see if she wants to get together for dinner. And so she agreed to do so. And when we were growing up, she was the baby of the family for a while, and then when our families were blended, she still acted like the baby of the family. I won't go any further with that. And so she still is the baby of the family at 55 years old. And reminds us all that she is the baby of the family. And so when Big Brother comes, she likes it because I spoiled her, right? But when we were younger, we were extremely competitive. She was only a year and a half difference from me. So we were either in blended classrooms. She was always smarter than me. She was always greater in sports than me. She was always getting me into trouble. She always had my parents' ear and favor. And so there was this actual love-hate relationship. It was very strong. And it wasn't until I received Christ that Christ began to heal this thing in my heart and really challenge me on this comparisonitis in my own life. And I could never get what she got on the report card. I mean, that was just, if that happened, that was Jesus opening up the clouds and writing an A on my report card. I mean, that's what it was. Let's admit it. I mean, and also, I tried out on the same track and field team as she was on. She went to the state finals, the provincial finals. I was the water boy of the team. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth. I was the one who wanted to be the actor, and she's the one who wins all the talent shows. I mean, it's like, what gives? You know what I mean? When will it be my time? And I realized it would never be my time in her eyes or in my parents' eyes, but it was my time in God's eyes. Amen? It is my time. And so here we are. She invites me up to her new condo. It's absolutely gorgeous. And she is walking me through because she's got all these renovations going on. And I'm getting price tags of everything that, and I'm going, I didn't even pay that for my first car. I'm going, what? What gifts? And then we go out to dinner, and she's telling me about all her trips to Italy and all these countries she's been to, and the Lord is checking this heart. Okay? It's a test, is what this is. And so he says, I've done so much work in your life. I want you to bless her. I want you to encourage her. I want you to build her up. And then I want you to ask her if there's anything she needs. I'm like, right now? Inside. Are you kidding me? Aren't you listening to her, Lord? Oh, I'm listening to her, but I'm listening to you inside more than I'm listening to her. And so I just listened and enjoyed this meal together. And at the end, I said, hey, is there anything that you need right now? That was the moment. And she said, there is something I need. I said, well, what is it? And she told me what it was. It was really something dear to her heart. And I said, Can I pray about that for you? Can I give some thought about that for you? And I will do what the Lord encourages me to do to help you with that. And she's like, thanks. And she just grabbed me in the restaurant we were leaving and kissed me, right? Like, grabbed me. My family kisses all the time and just kisses me. I'm like, oh, this is disgusting. Right in front of everybody. But you know what? I really liked it. You see, God will come to you and said, are you willing to live in a way that you're going to think and act like me? Once I grab a hold of that, then that comparisonitis, it really goes. It's really not important. And you begin to see people and their needs. You begin to feel their hurt differently. You don't feel sorry for them, but you feel their hurt. You see the reality of their humanity. And you see what's keeping them from God, just like what kept you from God. You don't have to compare. You don't have to compete anymore, because we all need God, don't we? There is going to be a judgment day where her name is going to need to be written in that book, whether she thinks it is or not. And I know that. And because I know that, I don't have to compare. Do you see how freeing that is? I'm not sure if you're getting what I'm talking about. This is, we're talking freedom, right? It's Memorial Day weekend, right? We're talking, it was for freedom that Christ set me free, no longer to be subject by any yoke of slavery. Comparisonitis is slavery of the soul, mind, and spirit. It's been for me most of my life. And, you know, I got in the car. I'm just going to tell you what I did. I got in the car from that visit. I was on the way. I just started worshiping. Just, it was automatic. I had been studying this scripture, by the way, over those few days that I was away. So I was thinking this. And I just said, I think I'm free. And then I'm like, no, I am free. Golly gee, I'm free. That's exciting. And I've been saved for 30 something years, and I'm going, this works. I can preach about this weekend. I know what I'm talking about. And then we texted each other back once I got over the border. And I just said to her, it was such a privilege to be with you and spend time with you and to just be with you. She wrote back and she said, I love you, Jimmy. Oh, can you believe it? It is. That was an aw moment. I went, she is kind of cute, Lord. You know, we've heard sermons like this. But I really feel, as I was preparing for this, this is something God is after in this family. In this family. Comparisonitis has robbed us spiritually, has robbed us of the power of God in our own lives. Because we're so busy wondering what everybody else is doing and how they're doing it and if they're doing it and why they're doing it and why am I not including in what they're doing? And how come, God, you give them the blessings and I'm not blessed? That's not what the word says. He says you're blessed. You're blessed. Amen. Did you hear me this morning?
Yes.
You are a blessed family of God. Let me tell you that. Amen. Let's move on to verses 3-8. And you know what? If I don't get this all done today, there's always part two, right? Yes. I am not Russian. I got a lot on my heart. Okay, I'm not Russian. I am Canadian. Okay, move on. Ba-bum.
Oh.
You know, it takes some a little bit longer than others, Pastor Brian. Okay, verse 3. Now listen, this is important. Don't throw this verse away. Pay attention. For by the grace given me, by the perfect love, by the favor of God, by the blessing of God, by the mercy of God, I was chosen to be his. I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Do they have the same function?
No.
Then why do we compete and compare? They're not meant to have the same function. It says here in the Bible. They're all going to look differently. It's not the same. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to, oh my goodness, belongs to what?
All the others.
Now, this is where we get mixed up. You see, if you come from a dysfunctional family upbringing, and there was a lot of competing and competition, and there was a lot of striving in relationships, you often will leave that environment and you will struggle to belong until Christ helps you to belong to the family he places you in, your spiritual family. But more people waste energy, effort, longing of heart to try to belong to the church family when they rightly belong, because he places them in his family. It's his family, right? And so he says you do belong, and we all belong together. We have different gifts, verse 6, according to what? The grace given us. Again, that grace comes into motion. We were brought into the family by grace, and then at the time that we're brought into the family, then there's an empowerment. There is just an impartation of the personality and the power and the character of Christ and the Holy Spirit that we often will see manifested in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I got it. You're with me. Okay, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve it. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I say to you all, to all the gifts, do it cheerfully, not just giving of your gifts. Give it cheerfully. But as I look at this, and I'm looking at changing my viewpoint so that I don't allow, right, comparisonitis to consume me and control me. So my first viewpoint was that I want to live to think and act in God's way, found in verses 1 and 2. But in verses 3 to 8, I see another viewpoint, and that is, it's simple, but it's hard for me. I don't know about you, and that is live in humility. Oh, that is so tough. For some of you, you're saints, and for some of us, it's so hard. And we see here that the world's way to measure things is measuring people against people. That's how they do it. And how well we compete and how better we are than others usually is the way the world will encourage us. This competitive dimension of society shows up in everything. And we see it. Go to school or bring your report card home. You'll find out what's important, right? Grades are a way of measuring people against people. In one of my school classes, it was grade 6, they put the smart kids on one side of the room and put the kids who struggled in another side of the room. My sister was the kid who was brilliant. She was on this side of the room. Guess what side of the room I was on? On the other side. Actually, I tried to sneak over to the other side, and the teacher got my ear and pulled me back to my seat and put me in my seat. Oh, yeah. Oh, happy day. That's real in people's lives. Sports are designed. We select winners and announce winners. And we announce the losers. You either win or you lose. Health and beauty. Oh my. If you're not 25 these days, you're old and decrepit. If you don't wear straight stovepipe pants, you're old fashioned. If you can't have spiky hair and wear a little bit of gel, you're too uptight. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I just have come from, I went to a conference, and that was so elevated. I'm like, I might just get, you know, fall on my pencil and die. I mean, what is this about? Because I'm never going to be 25 again. And when I was 25, I was too young to be responsible. I was too young to do what God wanted me to do. I was too young and I had to wait. And then I turned 40 and they looked at me and said, well, you don't have enough wisdom yet. Wait till you get some gray hair. And I said, I've got gray hair. You gave it to me. What do you mean? I have to wait another 20 years? And now I'm 56, and now I'm too old, because Health and Beauty on TV is telling me that if I can't strut my stuff, then I'm not worth looking at. Are you kidding me? I'm gorgeous. Can I tell you that? Woo! And so are you. Amen. Because God does not look at my height. He does not look at my hair color. He does not consider my weight. He does not care what I wear. All he cares about is that I'm living a living sacrifice before my God Almighty. That's what he cares about. Do you want me to get any more passionate? Am I making my point? Have I wasted my life or not? No, but I have. Because most of my life I spent in a performance addiction, in an approval addiction. That's what I spent my life doing. And now I realize this gray hair gets me into dining rooms and gives me benefits. This gray hair gives me a, what is that? A-R, what? A-A-R-P, not A-M-P. It gives me now discounts when I go shopping. Don't tell me being 56 is not a good old age. I don't have to compare. And neither should the 25-year-old have to strive to be like me. Because God has given all of us a function. And part of humility is acknowledging I am 25, I am 40, I am 50, I am 60, I'm 70, I'm 80, I'm 100. And that within that wonderful lifespan, that God has taught me to think more highly of others than myself, to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in true humility. What's true humility? Looking on others with interest of heart. That's what I do. That's what you do. And when you belong to the family of God and you put away that comparison-itis, you get rid of those relational diseases in this place. And we begin to celebrate each other because of our uniqueness and our differences and our diversity and our cultures. And that's what's so beautiful about joy, is that we invite those things because we honor God Almighty and understand that he places that within us. But we have to, listen, you have to humbly care for that as well. You can't just think it's going to last. You have to humbly embrace that truth. He challenges us to live in such a way not to give in to those things. And remember that God supernaturally has endowed us by his grace. You're marked by favor. When you're marked by favor, you're marked by anointing. Not just the few and the beautiful get the anointing, by the way. And not just certain gifts get the anointing. And not just certain status gets the anointing. In the grace of God flows the anointing. Do you understand? Why do you think we have Discovery Weekend here where people can discover their shape so that they understand their God-given endowment so that they can function and belong and thrive in this place? And if not in this place, in your workplace. And if not in your workplace, in your home. And we celebrate our kids. We help our kids discover who they are in Christ. We celebrate their gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts should have more predominance in your vocabulary than their grades on their report cards, by the way. Because if they're flowing in their gifts, usually those other areas are elevated anyway. It's true. Because they have a confidence. If they know their spiritual gifts, and they know the grace of God, and they know there's an anointing on their lives, do you think that's not going to give somebody some confidence? It does. And you can give them that. I love verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Our differences do not make anyone better or worse than another. Whatever our gift, our function, each of us contributes. We all need to contribute. And it's necessary for the whole body to come together. That's what's so beautiful about joy. When people come and say, you can sense the love. Well, why can you sense the love? Because God has kept out of this place that jealousy. He's kept it out. He's dealt with it. He's kept out. He's come after that insecurity in people. And we're all insecure, by the way. There's not one of us here that are not insecure in some area in our life. Some of us more than others. But he uses our relationships to say, you're okay with me. You're okay with me. I love you just the way you are. Don't go changing to try to please me. Right? You heard that song, right? Yeah. Billy Joel? I used to love that song. Why did I love it? Because I spent so much time trying to have to change my life. I just wasn't quite there yet. I just quite didn't measure up. I just wasn't the person that my parents wanted me to be. I just didn't quite fit the mold of what they thought a child should be. It's really important, folks. And now that we're children of God, it's different. Yahoo. It's all different. Because that grace that's been given to me, filled with love, filled with approval, filled with success. If you really let God flow through your spiritual gifts, you will accomplish things and become things in your life that you never dreamt you could. Can I tell you the truth? It's so powerful. I'm so excited about this. I'm going to do part two on this. Because the next point is so powerful, I'm not going to rush through it. I have to talk to you about it. You have to come back. Please, will you, anybody not come back? Get that hand down. Brody, that's it. No candy for you. That's it. We're finished. What a great day in the house of God. Amen. That you and I can overcome this relational virus called comparisonitis. It's so destructive. I really am going to encourage you to do something this week. I want you to sit down and I want you to think of one person in your life that you really have struggled and you've competed with. I want you to pray for them at least one day. Then what I want you to do is, I don't want you to necessarily tell them you've done that, but I want you to write an encouraging card to them to say, I love you so much. You have great value in my life. And just leave it there. Can you do that? Let's stand and commit ourselves to the Lord. What an exciting day.
Amen.
Oh Lord, I thank you for the work you've done in my heart this week. I should have thought, because I was going to preach it, you were going to test me. And I wasn't ready for the test. I didn't even know I was going up to Canada, and you just got me good.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.